have a life of love. Verse 14, how shall we deal with the weaker brother? How shall we live for God? Chapter 15 talk about we should be like Christ in what? Not that seeking our own pleasing us, but pleasing other people, etc. Now in chapter 16 talk about some kind of personal greetings. Now, what are these materials? Can you divide them into two different categories, basically? This is a very quick survey. Basically, can you divide them into two, three categories? Well, what kind of material? Thank you. What kind of material are they? Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, for example, what they are talking about? It is talking about how shall we live? Doctrines. Right? It's talking about doctrines. Now, the other part, chapter 12, 13, 14, what they are talking about? Mm-hmm. Talking about our, how shall we live, our ethics. Right? Mm-hmm. So, over here, we have doctrine, the section of the doctrine, and the section of practical life. Okay? Now, here is one thing. Here he talk about doctrine. Here he talk about practical life. How shall we live, etc. Practical. How are those two sections related? How are those two sections related? How?
What do you believe concerns practical life, right? Practical living.
Yes, but how do we see it? What they're talking about is more theology. How, let's look up a literary structure.
Ethel.
Huh?
Connected by the word therefore on chapter 12, verse 1.
Okay, look at chapter 12, verse 1. Verse 12, chapter 1. Therefore, brethren, soi, 弟兄们. Now, when we talk about soi, what are the relationship?
Conjunction.
Yes, but what? More specifically, what kind of relationship? Huh? Yeah, it's, huh?
As a result.
Huh? Yeah, it's connect, but what? What's that?
As a result of the above.
As a result above, then what?
Causation,
right? Causation, right? Now this began doctrine and the practical life has inseparable 不能够分离的关系 relationship. What kind of relationship is that? Causation. Now that's become very significant. Okay. 这是因，这是果。Causation， 这是因，这个果。换句话说 ，OK， 换句话说 ，if we proclaim the doctrine, issue in practical life ethics, doctrine and ethics cannot be separated. Okay.Doctrine and ethics are inseparably related. But not only that. Doctrine is the cause and ethics is the effect. Not ethics is the cause and doctrine is the effect. Now we have to keep that clear. The liberals, 那些自由神学派的人, they try to ignore the doctrine and talk about practice.Practice without doctrine as its basis is non-biblical. Okay? Therefore, we need doctrine as a basis for our ethics. If If we have only doctrine without ethics, that's not gospel either. Okay. According to biblical emphasis, doctrine and ethics are all combined together, but ethics is built on the basis of doctrine. Doctrine is a basis, is a cause. Ethics is the effect, cause effect, 因果. Doctrine, 教理, 真理, 是因, 我们的实际生活为, 是果. 那如果把因果颠倒了, 那完了。 OK, 这很重要的是, 有一些人, some people will always talk about doctrine, forget about the practice. That's wrong. That's not biblical. Some people always talk about practice without doctrine. That's wrong either. That's wrong also. Those two cannot be separated there. Okay, now. That's too bad. Well, okay, I'll show you this thing. In this first section, I wish we had time to let you read it. The entire episode, look at this. I think that's the best way, but since our time is limited, so I'm going to talk now. Okay. From 118 to 320, is talk about God's holiness in condemning sin, namely God. Of course, the issue there is talk about sin. Okay. Then, from 321 to end of chapter 5, is talk about justification, namely God's grace in justifying sinners. You have sinned, somehow you have estranged yourself to God, but God removed it away so that you can be in a good relationship with God. Now 6:1 to 8, it talk about God's power in sanctifying believer. By that mean that God is not only making you consider you as sinless, but actually reform you. Let me use an example, just like juvenile delinquent. 那少年的犯罪啊，那些人， 你说你把人家一个车子搞坏了， OK, 法院说我不判你的罪，算了， 那也不够， 判你没有罪， 同时还要把你 reform, 怎么讲， 改正， 使你以后不会再做坏。 那如果神只说你做坏事，我算你没有做坏事了，没有用。神说你做坏事，我算你没做坏事， 而且又把你改良， 把你 reform， 使你又不会再做坏事， 那才是完备的救恩。 OK, so God's power, OK, will sanctify the believers, actually make us good. Not only like, okay, I consider you to be a good boy. Anyway, even though you are a bad boy, I consider you to be a good boy. That's not enough. Yes, you have made mistakes in the past. I will ignore, I will not consider, because of Jesus, I will forgive you for the mistake you did in the past. But I also change your character, nature, so that you will not do that evil thing anymore. Okay, that's the salvation of God. Now, of course, this section, 9 and 11, is talk about God's sovereignty. Let me talk about how God is going to deal with Israel. Then 12 to end of 15:13 is talk about how, after God changed our nature, how shall we serve God. So over here, really, the Epistle of Romans talking about salvation. Now, this first section talk about the need of salvation. Why we need salvation? Because of our sin. Because we are sinners. And because God is holiness, therefore God will condemn sin. Therefore, we need a salvation. Now, this second section, 321 to 5, talk about the way of salvation. How can God solve our problem? Here, present a problem. So, dearly, this is the principle of interrogation here. Present the problem, provide the solution. Okay? This is a way of salvation. And God does not only provide a way of salvation, but He even changed our lives so the life of salvation is manifested. so that we reform. We don't do any evil anymore. Now, I'm sorry. Let me put this way. Stand here, probably. Then, in this section, talk about scope of salvation. 救恩的范围, 不只限于以色列人, 不只限于外邦人, but both Jew and Gentile will be saved. Whole world involved. Okay. And of course, this talk about service of salvation. After you receive salvation, how you serve God. Now, what I'm going to tell here doesn't make sense now, so we just stop here. Now, once you begin to see this, you, as I said yesterday, in this kind of discursive or logical literature, we should be able to trace the development of thought. Now, how do we trace the development of thought? We get, okay, let me use an example here. Outline, whenever we outline, suppose if we are writing something, we have outline 1, A, A, 1, 2, B, B, 2, 1, A. This is the way we write our outline, right? Do you understand what I'm getting at here?
Yeah.
Right.
Now, okay, it will be very important to have the full comprehensive whole thing. We have to see how this is developed into this big Roman numeral 1, Roman numeral 2. See the relationship here. Okay, and that is what we are getting at here. So if you want to get the full picture of the book, this is Roman numeral 1, Roman numeral 2, Roman numeral 3, Roman numeral 4, Roman 5. So you have to trace the development on the first level, namely on the level of Roman numeral 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then you see, aha, that is all thing. Okay. But then we do it. Now, then second step, we'll take Roman numeral 1 and then trace. We take Roman numeral 1 and then, okay, see how A and B are related. Then if you like to, then next step, we will take this A and see how they are related, small A and small B. Then we take A and see how 1 and 2 are related. See, that's the way we trace the development of thought. Otherwise, if we try to trace like this, it end up with confusion. So it's very important for us to divide, okay, what is this, what is this, what is this. And then within this particular section, trace the next level man thought. Then after that, gradually go into that. So always keep this kind of outline form in your mind. Then you will get the whole picture for the particular passage, whole book. Okay, now in our Bible, we have Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. But when the Roman Christian first received the letter, okay, let me use an example here. Suppose your father wrote you a letter. You receive a letter and I say, okay, this is chapter 1. Today I read only chapter 1, one section. I put there and go home, go to bed. Tomorrow, bring the letter out and read. Okay, I read chapter 2. Is that where you read your letter? You won't get the full picture. When you get the letter, you read from the beginning until the end. Right? This is the way the Roman Christian read the letter originally. There is no division of chapter what. This was added later on, I forgot which day, probably sometime in the 15th century. So people used to read the whole thing. Okay? So we should be able to trace. We should be able to trace the development of the whole thing. Okay? And this is very, very important. Therefore, I'm going to give you some assignment for you to try it. And you try it and you like it. Okay. So I'm not going to give you Ephesians Roman because I already analyzed that. So what I like for you to do is this. Do those two assignments. May we help you. I know how much time you spend. I hate to load you down, but see if you can find tonight. Those of you who are not going to York, you have a lot of time. Read the entire epistle to Ephesians. Ephesians. You read the Ephesians. Okay. And of course, you don't worry about the structure, epistle structure I talk about. The writer, the addressee, the greeting, etc. Don't worry about that part. But take the epistles to Hebrews. Okay, not Hebrew, to Ephesians. and divided into major parts. Roman numeral 1, 2, or 3. I'm not telling you how many. You see if you can divide that. The major big chunk. That's right. And then, not only major chunk, over here, as we saw here in Epistle Romans, we said, basically, this is the largest section, one section here, right? This is the second section. And then, you see what the relation between the two, causative. Now, what I'd like for you to do is, take the Epistle to Ephesians, and you may get 1, 2, 3. I'm not going to, do not take what I say here too seriously. Because sometimes when I give assignment to the student, I intentionally mislead them to see what they really know or not. So, what I like to do is to take the entire epistles, read it probably 1 or 2, 2, 3 times. The best thing is to read from beginning to end. Okay, read it. And then see how you divide it. Probably you divide it 1, 2, 3. I say probably. Don't take my word seriously, okay? Okay, chapter 1 to chapter 6. Suppose you say chapter 1 to chapter 2 is this. Chapter 2 to 3 is this. Chapter 4 to 6 is this. Now, if you follow my way, sure, you are in error. Okay, you divide this way and say, what is the relation between 1 and 2? Is this interchange or causation or whatever, the one of the 12 we mentioned about? How about the relation between the two here? And that's what I'd like for you to do. Okay? That's probably take you about 1 hour at most. Yes? Now, I also like for you to do this. If you like, okay, if you like, you can take Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 14. Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. Ephesians 1, chapter verses 3 to 14, and I do some kind of analysis. Is there any kind of relationship or some kind of analysis there? Just either, okay, just take this section. Can it be divided into 2, 3, or 4, 5, or 6, or which segments? And see the relationship. Pray with it.
Okay. Chapter 1.
Chapter 1, Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. 很短.
Is this another thing?
Yeah, that's separate. Okay. That's separate thing. What I like to do is, if we have time, I like to, you do it, and then you do it together here, and see, you compare, and then you get the point. Okay. And by doing this, also, I try to show you, when you read a Bible class, what kind of thing you can get from those, even from these 10 verses. Mm-hmm. You can preach from there for about 2 hours. Nothing for you to deal with. Actually, you can probably talk about 2-3 hours in a Bible study if you know how to do it. So I try to demonstrate if you have time. If you don't have time, maybe I'd wait till tomorrow night or Sunday morning to do it. So those who are leaving Saturday night, bye bye. No, we will see how we go. Really, I don't know how the time goes, but anyway, you just do this. You just do this exercise, and we'll see how, where we go from here. Okay. Now, okay, let me give you an easier assignment. Now, this is totally separate. Now, for this one, if you know how to do it, probably this one I'm going to show you will take you about 20 minutes to do it. Divide them into either two sections. Is this one the comparison? Is that contrast? Is that the recurrence? Is that climax? Is that cruciality? Is that the interchange? So, you go one by one and see which one fit.
Divide into sections first.
By the nature of the material, okay? And then I would say maybe if you do this first, perhaps help you more. Do this first. The third assignment first. Okay. the third assignment first, and if you finish it, you have time. Okay, go to the first assignment, namely look at the entire Ephesians. And if after you finish it, you have some time and you have interest, you have the drive to do it, then do the second assignment.
Would you please explain the second assignment?
The second assignment is to take the entire epistle to the Ephesians.
Yes.
And see how you divide that into two big chunks or three big chunks of material. I'm not going to tell you two or three or four. Okay. And then see the relationship among the two or three.
Okay. Then what's the second?
That's the first one. Yeah, the middle one is to take Ephesians 1:3-14,
yeah,
and divide them into small sections and see how they are related.
Okay.
Now let me give a suggestion. No, we may be able to do something about that tomorrow. These are the structure. Okay, when you talk about context, we'll talk about the structure of book, and this is really very important. Now, let me talk about another thing here. Do you believe in the Bible, where the Bible says there is no God? Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I just copied. Actually, the Bible doesn't deny it. But what I'm getting is this. The whole thing says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now what I try to show you is this. If we do not consider context, okay, in Chinese there's a good word, good expression. Sometimes I say, well, I tell my student, you don't understand Chinese, so you don't get this 真理. 断章取义 Okay. This is a very, very dangerous. Now, in studying the Bible or in interpreting the Bible, do not 断章取义. If you 断章取义, you just change the whole meaning. Like this. In this passage, Psalm 14:1, the emphasis is there is God. Only fools say there is no God. But if you take it out of context, you say, see, Bible says there is no God. Totally reverse the meaning. Okay? So it's so important. It is so important for us to see everything, or to interpret, or to understand everything in the light of the context. Now, let me show you a little bit here. Now, what is the meaning of tent here? For while we are still in this tent, we sigh with anxiety. The reason why is it's so hot now, and if we stay in the tent, it's too hot. So we sigh with anxiety, right? So tent means that some kind of tent you put pitch up there outside. Now let me put it that way. What does this mean? It is very cold outside, snowing, so that I don't like to take all my clothes, but I like to put some more clothes because it's cold, right? You look at this. This is what it says. Right? Why? The reason why is that because it is cold, and if I take off my clothes, then people will see that I did not put any clothes, naked. Now, you do not know what this means. You really don't know what this means. The reason why is these are taken out of context. So you really don't know what this means, and you can explain whatever you want in many, many ways. But if these are in the proper context, if you have the all context in places, you will know what that tent means. Let me say this. This is the whole context. What does tent mean?
our body.
Right. For if we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Here indeed we groan and long to put on our heavenly dwellings, so that by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we sigh with anxiety, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. This is the statement of Paul in 2 Corinthians. The tent refers to our physical body. But without all this context, I just show you one each. You would not know what I'm talking about. So you begin to see the importance. You begin to see the importance of the context. Okay? I just take this as an illustration to show you the importance of context. So keep in mind, in the list I gave you here, you have to consider the context. Namely, you need to analyze the structure of the book. You need to trace the connection, development of the thought, namely by the 12 structure thing I talk about. Then you need to pay attention to immediate context, because the immediate context will change the meaning of many words. Let me illustrate one point here about the importance of immediate context. What is the meaning of, all of you know this? Fast. What does it mean? 禁食, right? 禁食就不要吃饭, right? Fast. Is it? Is that 禁食? 我跑到禁食到机场, 要来坐飞机. Is that the meaning? 你在禁食?
Quiet.
No, that's quiet. That's not 禁食. Right? Okay. Wait a minute. 就被你看到了就 我的把戏就玩不来了. This is what?
Yes, fast.
Fast, what? Huh? Huh? 禁食是? 是禁食吗?
Yes.
是什么意思? Fast 是什么意思? 很紧, right? 禁食吗? Okay, 我再问各位一个问题。 是什么字? What's the meaning? 啊? Okay, what I'm getting at here is, see, 同样是 fast, 同样字, 可是在不同的 context 里面, 意思就不一样。 所以换句话说, 如果你不 understand a word in the light of context, you can never understand that word. Okay? 所以我变把戏给各位看的，不是说我故意在扮，我是变把戏，来是给各位一个很深的印象， impress upon you. Context is absolute necessity, very, 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 very crucial. Okay? We cannot ignore the context. So I just use this to show you the importance of context. Now, let me show you something else. This one, you really, you need to know Greek to know what I'm talking about. But even though you do not know Greek, at least you should keep this kind of thing in mind, so that when you have difficulty, do not jump your gun and come to too early conclusion. Now let's read Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Acts 16, verse 31.《使徒行传》第十六章三十一节，OK， 来一位念，大声念。这是啊，我先讲啊，保罗跟这个啊，这什么？这那个 Zeta 那个什么东西？那个看守啊。禁足，他以为说，哎呀，糟糕了，惨了，我的犯人都跑掉了，他要自杀，我被杀，所以想自杀。那个保罗说，哎，你不要自杀，因为我们就在这里。所以这个禁足啊，很害怕的跑到保罗那里说，二位先生，我当怎么请才可以得救？那保罗就回答他 ，OK， 请各位念。
他们说，当信主耶稣，你比较多得救。
OK， now， 请问啊，有一次。我在阿特兰塔带查经班，这是真的。一个人呢、啊，跟我 challenge， 他说：“哎，你相信不相信圣经？”我说：“当然相信了、啊，我不相信我在这教圣经干什么？我当然相信。”他说：“哎，圣经所讲的每一句话都真的，是不是？”我说：“是啊，是真的、啊。圣经所讲的话没有错、啊。”我说：“没有错。”他说：“你相信圣经这么讲就这么对，是不是？”我说：“是、啊。”他说：“哎，我告诉你啊，我。”不信耶稣 ，OK， 可是我已经得救了。我说 ，No, wait a minute. You don't believe in Jesus, and you say you are saved. You are wrong. He said, No, 我没有错。他说啊，你相信不相信？你看圣经，使徒行传十六章三十一节，打开看吧。我就打开了。他说你念，我说念了。当信主耶稣，你和你一家都必得救。他说，哎，我的哥哥、啊、信耶稣了。我的哥哥信耶稣啊。我全他我个人全家得救了嘛，我是他的全家的一部分，所以我得救了。OK， he said, let me say in English. He said, do you believe that? I said, yeah, what Bible says, true. He said, okay, I do not accept Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. But I'm saved. I said, no, that's not it. He said, yeah. You turn your Bible, open your Bible and listen to it. And the Bible says, well, Acts 16:31. He talk about believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So he said, see, my elder brother is a Christian. Therefore, when he believe, all his household will be saved, and I'm his household. I'm a member of the family, therefore I'm saved. I don't need to believe in Jesus Christ. How do you do with this? Huh? Tense. No, it's not tense. Huh? Yeah, it's grammar structure. What? Now, in Greek, it is very clearly indicated this way. Believe, named you singular, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you, singular, not plural, you singular will be saved. Second person singular. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you singular, you only will be saved. Okay, and your household. Okay, this is not talk about we be saved. This is singular. Make it very clear. So, what it's saying is, you singular believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you singular will be saved. And the same thing is true with your household. Namely, when your household believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your household will be saved. Right. Fortunately, I had my Greek New Testament with me, so I showed him. Well, that's not what Bible means. That's not what the Greek says. The original means this. So finally, he was under conviction. He said, "Well, there's no way out. I better believe in Jesus Christ myself, so that I can be saved." Now, What I'm getting at here is our Bible study, or even correctly interpreting the Bible, can help some people get saved. Is that worthwhile? Okay. So this is some kind of grammatical consideration on grammar. Now, I don't think I can give you all examples about grammar, important or grammatic analysis, but I'll give you some more, and then probably some of those we will talk about tomorrow. Now, another thing is, okay, the Jehovah's Witness, probably you heard this, Jehovah's Witness many times will appeal to Colossians 1:15 and say, see, Jesus is one of the creature. Jesus is not God. Okay, somebody read in Chinese.
爱子是哪不能看见之神的像，是首生的，在一切被造之以先。
Okay, now 是首生的，造是首生的，是在一切被造以先。 That's what Chinese say. But the English say he is the firstborn of all creation. Okay, so Jehovah Witness come around and say, okay, see, Jesus is firstborn of all creation. Jesus is a creature. He's not God. He's a creature. Okay, and that is a literal translation from Greek. Prototokos passes ktiseos. Namely, the prototokos, firstborn of all creation. Okay. So how do you do? Jesus was the first one to be created. He's not God. Jesus was the first one to be created. Another thing here. Now that's the way they talk. But over here, the trouble is this. In Greek, when you have this possessive case, what do we call it? Actually, in Greek, we call it the genitive case. But translated into English, we call it, it's more or less like possessive case, like of something. But of something in Greek grammar, of course, it can mean belong to, but it has another meaning. Namely, talk about this is prototokos than, compared with prototokos than all creation. Now Greek grammar can mean this. Prototokos than all creation. Now the question is, what is the meaning of prototokos, namely the firstborn? Okay. Now firstborn has a technical meaning in this sense. Actually in Psalm, I forgot which one now, there is a statement, God say, I will make Israel king, firstborn of all the kings of the earth. Now what does that firstborn mean? God say, I will make the king of Israel firstborn of all the kings on the earth. Now it does not mean the first one to be born. For example, suppose the king of Egypt was born in 1933. And the king of Israel was born in 1948. Now you cannot make the Israel king born earlier than the king of Egypt, right? It's impossible. But in that passage, I wish I had the passage in the okay, thank you. 89:27. I'm watching the clock, so don't worry. Psalm 89:27. Right, thank you. Now, and I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Now, what does it say? I will make him the firstborn, namely the highest of the kings of the earth. Namely, over here, the firstborn is not talking about he was born first, but mean he is more exalted, preeminent, exalted. Okay, you know what I mean by exalted? 对，他是超过所有一切的早有一切的君王 preeminence or more exalted， 他被高举超过所有一切的王。所以 firstborn 的意思是什么呢？ firstborn 的意思就是高贵超过于。 OK， 我刚才说了这 genitive case of all creation 其实是有比较的意思，比如说我比你年长，我们会说在希腊文里面说 I am elder of you， of you 就是 than you。 OK， 所以 here firstborn， 事实上为什么 firstborn 变成说超高呢？因为、在犹太人里面第一个生的男孩子，头生的男孩子，他有特权，财产像我们中国一样，中国的那个头什么
长子
都得到特别的多的财产，犹太人一样。所以你看那个谁，那个雅各，把以扫把他的长子的份量卖给雅各，就是一碗那个红豆汤，就要把他的长子的份卖给他。所以长子有特别的名分，超过一切。所以 firstborn 已经在圣经里面已经是不只是说 born before other people， but it has the meaning of exalted， higher， preeminent， more dignified。 So 在 in Colossians 1:15 is not talking about Christ was the first one among all creatures， no， that's not the meaning。 The meaning is that Christis more exalted than all creation. Okay. So if we know the grammar, we'll know the error of the Jehovah's Witness. Now, if you don't know Greek, probably you don't see this, but at least I show this to you for the purpose of at least you know, yeah, when I have some difficulty in the Bible, probably that is due to some kind of grammar issue. I don't know grammar, so I better go to ask somebody who knows Greek.Okay, before you 下一个结论说啊圣经错了， that's my reason. I'll show you two three more examples tomorrow morning when we meet on this, and that will help you to confront with this kind of problems you may be confronted with. Okay, it's 1 minute before 5:30 so those who have to go to York can get ready in 1 minute and leave here at 5:30.